But when people, through their pleasure, using their pleasure and their sexuality as a portal, like reconnect with their self-worth, that's such a massive impact to everything in their life. Like they don't tolerate disrespect from partners. They no longer want to stay in an unfulfilling career. So it really bleeds out into the everyday, I find.
Welcome to Supernormalize, the podcast where we challenge the conventional, break boundaries, and normalize the seemingly supernatural. Join me, CJ Barnaby, in the liminalist space to explore less charted realms of existence and to unravel the mysteries of life experience. Each episode, I'm blessed with the opportunity to talk to regular people from across the world where they openly share their understanding and wisdom in service to others. If you're looking to upgrade your life, you've come to the right place. Be sure to like and subscribe, and I'll bring you great transforming conversations each week. My treasured viewers and listeners, if you have a life story or healing modality or unique knowledge that you'd love to share, reach out to me at supernormalized@proton.me. Let's together embrace acceptance of the supernatural and unusual, what it really is, completely normal. Today on Supernormalized, we're diving deep into an inspiring conversation with Jen Wodke. Jen is the founder of the Touchless Orgasm Method, which is a transformative approach designed to reconnect women with their innate sense of joy and self-worth through embracing pleasure. It's a deep conversation on Jen's path and how she got there and how she actually pretty much had to turn her whole world around. She was living in a dream, which wasn't hers, it sounds like, and all power to her for discovering her path and her method. This show is all about sex and orgasm. If that's not your sort of jam, then maybe listen to the next show. But I tell you, this is a good one. Enjoy. Welcome to Supernormalized, Jen Wodke. Jen, I've looked at all of your information around the work that you do and everything, and would it be safe to say that you're like an orgasm coach for women?
Yes.
Well, right, I got that right.
pleasure and orgasm.
Pleasure and orgasm, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the pleasure, you know, I do want to say sometimes, like, when we talk about pleasure and orgasm, it's people obviously immediately go to sexuality. And I just want to note that sometimes pleasure isn't necessarily about sexuality. I really think pleasure is much bigger than that. And when we're, you know, living in a way that fills us with joy and just we're living our desires, like that sort of pleasure also sort of falls into the realm of what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, look, I'm curious. You've got such a concentration on an understanding of pleasure and orgasm. Did you have a time in your life when you didn't have pleasure?
Oh, yeah. Although I don't know that I would have said it at the time that I didn't have pleasure.
So you didn't recognize it at the time?
Yeah. I've always been able to orgasm. But as I sort of went deeper into my training, as a sex coach, which led me sort of down a spiritual path as well. When I look back now, having used all the tools that I use with my clients, I've used them all on myself as well. And now I can look back and go, wow, like I've really come alive. My pleasure capacity has really, really expanded. And my sensitivity to the pleasure in my body has really expanded. So when I look back, even though I was having orgasms, I was like, I realized that I was numb to a lot of the pleasure that I had available to me. I just didn't know how to access it.
Right. You weren't even
Yeah.
aware of it probably too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Can you tell us about the Jen before you started down this path?
Oh, I used to teach grade 3. And at that period of my time, I followed all the rules. I got married. I was about, I think, 28 when I got married. I got married. I had the house. I was about to have kids. Like, I did all of the things that I felt I had been taught I was supposed to do to have like a happy, fulfilled life. And it eventually got so bad that I was in a really, really dark place. At one point, I think the year, my last year of teaching, I finally decided to leave teaching. But that last year of teaching, I was divorced by that point, so the marriage had broken down. And my first thought every morning was, I hate my life. And my last thought before bed was, I hate my life. And I was like, if I have to come home to this, I mean, I owned my own house, which was like all great and wonderful, but I was like, if I have to come home to this beige house much longer, like I'm going to lose my mind. So I painted my bedroom red and black, which my parents lost their mind. And that really precipitated my move out of teaching, which then really opened my whole world. I moved cities, I started a new career. And that was when I began my informal journey into sort of exploring my own sexuality and pleasure. When I felt, you know, I left that. It felt like a cookie cutter life, really.
Did that life
And
come from like a path of societal pressure, do you think, or?
yeah. I mean, again, I would not have said it at the time, but looking back, I think I had absolutely taken on a lot of the. It was in my un subconscious that like women are supposed to get married, have children, be mothers, be nurturing. And so I was in this teaching career and I was about to start trying for a baby. And I just felt so far away somehow from who I was supposed to be and how did I get here? Like these were the things I was supposed to do. And I thought I wanted them and then I had them. And I was like, this is. Like, I hate my life. I was saying that to myself 2 times a day. And like, it was an awful place to be.
Yeah, well, you got to the end of the understanding of all that and then had some breakthroughs.
I sort of started informally. My thought was actually when I initially, when the marriage broke down and I was divorced, I thought, you know, they lied to me about marriage and relationships. I was like, what else did they lie to me about? And that's when my informal exploration into sexuality and pleasure began. And that journey was so transformative. Like, I definitely had a, I used to have it a slut phase. I used to call it a slut phase. And I was talking to someone yesterday and she's like, I had a hedonist phase. I was like, that's a better term for it. I just wanted to try everything. Like, and I wanted to just try things just because they felt good. Like, I stopped justifying, like, what is this going to get me? What is the outcome going to be? Is it going to contribute to my life? And I thought, you know what? If it gives me pleasure, like, that's contributing to my life. And so I kind of just played with relationships and sexuality and explored. And that was really a massive, massive step in my transformation.
And that opened you to better orgasms and deeper pleasure.
Yeah, it was a journey. Yeah, definitely. It was a journey. My pleasure journey, yeah, my pleasure journey took lot it, there was lots of stops along the way. Yeah, it was just very organic. And I always felt like I just had this feeling that there was always more. It's like I know there's more pleasure, like, and I just had this like this belief that bubbled up from deep inside me somewhere that like my sexuality was this portal for transformation and I wanted to explore that. And once I sort of recognized that, then the orgasms and the pleasure sort of started transforming and becoming bigger. And I realized I could, you know, using my breath and using my awareness, like I could start to control that pleasure and orgasm a little bit. And then that sort of let me down the path to touchless orgasm.
It sounds like you're discovering a form of tantra.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but my coaching training is very tantric based. So yeah, there's a lot of looking inward and a lot of somatic sort of work and a lot of going down and figuring out like what's underneath like my thinking brain, like what else is going on inside of me.
What did you
Yeah.
discover?
I discovered that I have a shadow side. I rediscovered, which we all do, and sometimes it's fun. I also kind of just discovered that I really value freedom, I think is my highest value. Like, I think everyone should be free to live the pleasure that they desire, live the career that they desire, to follow their desires and just really be authentic. And if we start controlling people, I just think that's you're controlling someone's humanity if we start controlling their pleasure. And yeah, I just became a very strong proponent of personal freedom. And I sort of reconnected with my purpose and my desires and a lot of the things I want to explore and accomplish that I had hidden for so long became known to me.
What did your family think of all this?
Oh, they were not fans. I should, that's not really, that maybe isn't a fair way to put it. When I was in the married and teaching, and I owned my house, they couldn't understand why I wasn't happy because they're like you have everything, like you're set for life. And I was like, yeah, I'm set for life. Like that was terrifying to me, and that was so reassuring to them, to especially to my parents. And so when I gave all that up, I sold my house, I quit, I was on permanent with the school board I was teaching with, so I had a job like forever. I quit that. I moved cities to work in film, and they were like, "What are you doing?" It was crazy to them, crazy to them. And it was really, really hard for quite a few years. I felt like I just couldn't, and I still feel this to a certain way, although I've released it. I'm like, this is not me anymore, 'cause not me. What I mean by that is, for the longest time, I felt like I just couldn't make them understand my journey. And I've sort of released that. I'm like, it doesn't matter if they understand my journey or not, because it's not their journey. They love me regardless. And I've just released, I'm like, there is a very big part of my life that they just can't understand. But they do their best to be supportive now. But it was really hairy for a while. There was a lot of stress and tension between my mom, especially, and my brother, and I clashed about it at some points too. But
Well, I mean, thinking about it from their side too, that they've done everything they could to get you to the point where you're successful according to their measures.
yeah.
So to take that all and say, no, they're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And I have, now that I'm that was about 15 years ago when I moved out away from the city. And so now that I have sort of distance from that, I have more compassion now for how they reacted and how they felt about it.
Yeah, that takes
But
time.
it didn't make it any less hard to go through at the time.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because you're
Yeah.
actually seeing it from your perspective and they're seeing it from their perspective.
Yeah.
There's tension, there's misunderstanding, but it all got worked out. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned something about film. What were you doing in film?
Oh, I was working in the production office.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's funny, look, when I mentioned earlier that I sort of rediscovered my passions and my purpose that I had lost, and it's like, that's not even the right word. They weren't lost. They were so shoved down because I didn't want to look at them. I realize now that I went into film because I've always had a desire to perform. So even though I wasn't doing anything creative in film, like just being in the industry, was very rewarding and very enjoyable for many, many years.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're discovering yourself and your ways to pleasure and orgasm. When did you have your, would you say you had your first completely open and perfect orgasm. I mean, you do mention touchless orgasm. Was that it? That method that happened?
I don't think there's a such a thing as a touchless, or sorry, a perfect orgasm.
Okay.
I mean, there are a few that I remember because they were instrumental on my journey. I had my very first orgasm through masturbation at, I think, about 17. Although that was just the start of the journey. Like, that doesn't jump out as being especially significant. But in my early 20s, I had orgasms in my sleep, and that was the start of the touchless orgasm journey for me. Many, many years in the making. I eventually got to a point where I was like, if I can do that in my sleep, like, I was like, there's if I can just unlock something here, unlock the secret, like somehow bring this forward, I was like, I know that I can do it awake. So that felt very, very significant. But that was a many, many years journey. And I was the other orgasm that changed my life. I was in sec grad sec school, grad school, about 10 years ago, and we had this homework. We were supposed to orgasm in a different way, masturbate in a different way. And so I was doing this masturbation homework, which is still crazy to me to say in a lot of ways. And I don't know if it was just, I think that might have been the first time where I had an intention. Like, I went into a masturbation session with an intention to experience something different.
Okay.
And what I experienced was what I look back now and call my first spiritual orgasm. I was like, whoa, like something shifted. I feel connected to the divine, to the universe, to something bigger than myself. So that was another really big life-changing orgasm where I was like, there's so much more here. And that I think started me on the journey to like put the pieces together of these, touchless orgasms that I had had in my sleep and this idea of spiritual orgasm that I had now experienced and just this belief that there is more out there. That sort of all snowballed together and eventually led to me moving into becoming a sex coach and an orgasm coach, pleasure coach. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So you've developed these skills of being in a greater connection with yourself and your body and your pleasure. How did you start instructing people on this? I mean, that's quite unusual. I mean, did somebody come to you and say, something's not working? Or how'd that play?
Yeah, I started, I mean, I in my coaching program, I had been working with practice clients, my peers. So I was getting a feel for sort of the common things that women come to coaching with that they want to work on that was in their way. So I was starting to already get a feel for that. And when I started to really take it to outside people, was as part of my training. I was at a retreat. So I was in a room full of 80 other women, and we're doing all these pleasure exercises together. And I'm lying on my yoga mat, my hands are at my sides, and I am about 10 minutes away from having an orgasm. And I was like, oh my God, this is like it can be taught. Like, I can. That was the first time I took it out of my sleep with my conscious mind. And I was like, I knew it. It was real. It can be done. It can be done. And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, I just need 10 more minutes. But then the session ended and I was like, well, I'm not going to be the only person here, like continuing on her own after the room empties. So I didn't have a touchless orgasm then.
Did
But
you hold
that
back? Why did you hold back? You might have started like a cascade event, you know what
well, but there were other women around me that were having similar experiences, right?
They
So it
were,
wasn't just me alone. And a part of
yeah.
me is like, oh, maybe I should have. But out of respect for people that were packing up, I was like, I don't want to be that lady. But that being my experience and hearing the women around me having similar experiences, and I'm sure that some of them ha had a full-on orgasm. From there, I went home and I was like, okay. Can I replicate this experience by myself at home where I don't have the energy of 80 women around me, where I don't have somebody guiding me through the process? And I was like, yep, I can replicate this. And then I really sat down and I thought about, I looked back at my life and I was like, what happened in my pleasure life to get me to the point where I could do this? So I sort of started pulling out the pieces that I felt were important to help people get to experience this on their own. And then I just pulled people in. I put it on my social media and people signed up to take a test course. And it's like, this can be replicated. People can learn this. Pleasure is a skill. And I think that's one of the key takeaways. Pleasure is a skill. And the more we work on it, the more we grow in it and the more our body begins to respond and expand pleasure potential.
What benefits have you seen in yourself and the people you work with that have discovered their pure pleasure and better orgasms? What actually happens for them?
Oh, there's so many. It depends certainly on the individual, what they're coming in with, what their own sexual ecology is. But a lot of women report a better relationship to their body. I've seen a lot of my clients really sort of not exactly manage their emotions, but not be controlled by them, I think. So I have one client who's like, oh, somebody came in and they did this and they started, doing things that would irritate me. And they're like, I could just kind of sit there and not let it affect me as much. And so that's not directly related to their pleasure, but through doing this pleasure work where you're becoming cognizant of who you are and what your beliefs are, and you just have a better grasp on yourself, it bleeds out into non-sexual aspects of your life. So that's been something really, really amazing to see. And then, increased body sensitivity to pleasure, increased awareness of energy moving through their body, and just a generalized increased sense of well-being and fulfillment.
So all our
Yeah.
positive aspects unfold.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're working with people, do you find that the breakthroughs change them so significantly that it changes all their life?
That's such a hard, I think so. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say what people are experiencing in their life directly,
Yeah, just from what you've seen.
but yeah, I think it's not necessarily this massive, massive change all the
Okay.
time, but it's sometimes I feel it's almost more of like developing a quiet, not that women have to be quiet, but it's almost like a strong inner locus of control where, I'm not going to be knocked off my game. I have seen people reconnect with their purpose and start making changes in their relationships and almost standing up for themselves and living in their truth and realizing the big one, I think, is self-worth. And I think the self-worth piece is life-changing, although again, it might not be something that you can see externally. But when people, through their pleasure, using their pleasure and their sexuality as a portal, like reconnect with their self-worth, that's such a massive impact to everything in their life. Like they don't tolerate disrespect from partners. They no longer want to stay in an unfulfilling career. So it really bleeds out into the everyday, I find.
Nice, nice. And what are the common blockages that you see with people that they need to overcome to be able to experience deep pleasure?
Yeah, again, this is very broadly speaking because
Yeah, for
everybody's
sure. Everyone's
experience will
different.
vary,
Yeah.
but I find for women the body image is a big one. And there's also I'm surprised how many women have I'm not surprised. I'm surprised and I'm not surprised. I find myself doing a lot of work helping people unlearn some of their religious conditioning around sex and pleasure. It can be really, really deep-seated. Like it's a sin if I show too much cleavage. It's a sin if I have an orgasm. It's a sin if I'm feel lustful. So there's a lot of that unwinding that has to be done. And not even necessarily in religion. I think growing up in the world that most of us have grown up in, it's generally quite self, sorry, self, blah, sex negative. So the vast majority have of us have taken on some of these beliefs in some way. So a lot of the work is also making those unconscious beliefs conscious so that we can release anything that isn't serving us.
What are common misconceptions people have about female orgasm and pleasure that you've come across?
I think we often view female sex, pleasure, and orgasm through a male lens. And I think women's bodies just don't work the same way. And if we don't recognize that, I really love the tantric sort of and Taoist traditions that like men are more like fire and women are water, and women take longer to heat up, but then they can bubble forever. And I think that feels very true to me. And I think the problem is that we don't recognize the power of water. And I always think of Bruce Lee when I think about the power of water and all the amazing things that he had to say. And I think we just don't really recognize that female sexuality is incredibly power. It has the power to transform, and women's bodies can give so much pleasure. We can have multiple orgasms. We don't have as long a refractory period as men do. And I think if we just sort of recognize that female sexuality is very different, women's bodies operate different, their libido is often different. But that's doesn't mean it's less than. It doesn't mean that she needs to behave like a man to have sexual satisfaction and pleasure.
Okay. Can you describe what someone might expect when they take your Touchless Orgasm course?
It's actually I've changed it into a book format now, so people have options as to how they want to engage with the course. But the first thing I want everybody to do when they go through it is sort of get a really good grasp on the foundations. So Touchless Orgasm is fundamentally a straightforward process. So you need body sensitivity to your pleasure. You need an activated mind so you can connect with that pleasure. And then pleasure building tools. So things like breath work, being able to move the energy and the pleasure through your body. Fairly straightforward process. So we start with the basics. We start building, the basics being we start building body sensitivity. We start going into meditation so we can train the mind to focus on what's happening in the body. Where do I feel pleasure? What does that pleasure feel like? And then we start putting that together in very basic pleasure building tools. So that's the thrust of the course. And once people get, kind of get good at the basics, then there is a variety of tools that they can go into and use depending on which ones they like, which one they get most bang for their buck from using, and they can kind of just play and pull and mix and mingle whatever tools sort of call to them on any given day.
Okay. How important is community support when exploring sexuality and pleasure?
I think it's important. I think it's important to have somebody to talk to about your experiences. And I think it's also important for people to recognize themselves in society. Like, if you're the only, for example, trans person in your small little community, that's really, really difficult. So, having physical community, if available, is amazing to support your journey. But if people don't have that, I think going online is an amazing tool. You have to be careful, obviously, because there's a lot of trash online as well. But finding groups of like-minded people that can support you, that are into what you're into, that have similar experiences to you is so available to us. And I think it's beautiful. And I think we should all find and cultivate that community if it's not physically around us.
We've talked mainly about the female orgasm. Do you actually help males at all with their orgasms?
I don't. I work primarily with women at this point, just because as a cis het woman, my experience of pleasure is inside of a female body. So, I don't feel super confident, supporting men at this point in my career.
Yeah, no, I just thought I'd ask because, it seems like it's balanced all in one direction and you might have been called to do so. And I thought I'd better find out. So, okay. So, what happens in pleasure and orgasm coaching? I mean, you do that. Do you do that one on one or do you do that in groups
Yes.
or, oh, one
I
on
do
one only?
one on one, one on one. Although I do have a monthly membership program as well where people can come in and sort of pick and choose what they want to attend. And there's guided meditations. We do some sex magic. We do touchless orgasm work. I also do some yoni egg work inside of that. So that's a bit more broad. One-on-one coaching, I think another misconception that a lot of people have is when you come to someone for pleasure and orgasm coaching, we're going to be working on technique and how to get yourself to orgasm. And I find we kind of go at it sideways. So we spend a lot of time really getting into your subconscious and figuring out what your unique blocks are that are preventing you from having the pleasure and orgasm experiences that you want.
You mentioned sex magic in there. What does that mean to you?
Sex magic is super fun. It's essentially harnessing the power of your arousal and your turn on and your orgasm to do any number of things. You can use it for a manifestation process. You can use it to just increase your energy, sort of just harnessing it and channeling it for anything you want to achieve.
Is it like a visualization process or?
Yes, it can be. It doesn't have to be inside of my monthly membership. That's how I run it. But I've had in-person sex magic experiences that are fantastic. We did.
You've got my curiosity. I mean, where
Yeah, we
can you
did
talk
as
about that without,
yeah, as part of my retreat was in 2022. And there was a lot of Westerners. There was a lot of Americans there, and it was. I think it was the. It was we were on retreat the week that Roe v. Wade was struck down, so there was all of these women doing all this amazing sexuality work and spiritual work, and then to get the news that this protection had been removed in the States was very, very heavy. So our leader decided that night our ritual was going to be the sex magic ritual. So. She had set up an altar with, I can't even remember what was on it. I think there was like flowers and candles, and it was very pretty. And everybody came in wearing whatever made them feel sexy. Women had crowns and like lingerie and costumes and what have you. And we all s set up our yoga mats, sort of like with our legs facing the altar. And then I think we called in like the divine feminine from the universe, and she
Aphrodite.
guided us through a process. Some of us masturbated to the point of orgasm. Some of us did that twice. And some people didn't. It's always a choose your own adventure, right? Whatever you're comfortable with in those kinds of spaces. So people didn't have to do that, but we all just harnessed this energy, and whatever you wanted to put out into the world was what your own personal intention was, and then you released either your orgasm or all the pleasure that you built up. You released it out into the world with intention, and I don't remember what mine was, but at other points in time, like I've sent out forgiveness into the world, or I've sent out any number of things, forgiveness, love. I've also asked for things, so it's really about harnessing your turn on and marrying it with your intention to create something beautiful.
Yeah, that's curious. Okay. Now, I will say we're getting towards the end of the podcast, and I wanted to know. How do people connect with you and maybe take on your services? I mean, you say you work one-on-one. Can you do that in person or do you do that on Zoom or what do you do?
It's we do it all on Zoom these days. So if people head on over to my site, jenwadke.com, they can get the Touchless Orgasm book for $5. And then there's options from there to join the course where I guide you. You have my little voice in your ear guiding you through all the meditations. You can join the monthly membership, which is $100 a month. And you can jump on a call and talk to me if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, and then we would suss out what the best program is for you and pricing and all of that stuff. So there's a variety
Nice.
of options.
Nice. Before we go, I just wanted to ask one more question. What advice would you give someone just beginning their journey towards embracing their desires?
Be kind to yourself, have compassion. You're not going to get it perfectly all the way through. It's going to be hard at times. I still get coached. I'm still working towards some of my desires, and I'm still sobbing mess on the floor sometimes. So that kindness and self-compassion is really important. And just know that this is a journey, and if you can get through those moments where it all feels really hard and sometimes hopeless and really tough, there's so much beauty on the other side. So
That's
stick with
wonderful.
the journey.
What would Jen's perfect world look like in 5 years?
I don't know why that's stumping me. I think I would be traveling, working with so many women, and just, I think I would be basking in female energy in my work, like working with larger groups of women and feeling that I've supported the community on a much bigger scale than I am now.
That sounds ideal. Thank you, Jen, for coming on to Super Normalized and talking about your touchless orgasm method and the story of how you got there. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, I'll just say goodbye to the listeners. Enjoyed just talking with Jen just now, all about her method and her story. And there seems to be a bit of a pattern I've noticed with pretty much nearly everyone that I've spoken with when it comes to the changes that they go through. It's like we have these societal norms are pushed upon us, and then we pop in some way, and then we have this new flowering of a new way of being. And this is what happened with Jen as well. And it's great to see that her method and her way in the world is also now being put out in a way that she can help others find their way to a greater sense of self-pleasure and orgasm and being personally free. So all power to her. If you've enjoyed today's show, please like and subscribe. And if you are on a podcast app, give me 5 stars, please. I'm saying it nicely, please. And please also, maybe write something about the show that's nice. That would be very appreciated as well. I'd appreciate the connection. And I'll provide all of the links to Jen and her work in the show notes. And I'd appreciate it if you reached out to her and say thanks for coming on the show too. So that'd be nice too. But until next episode, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate all the time that you listen, and it's bye for now.